And now, wishing he had something to talk about today, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The NASCAR trucks are running. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Snore. Gosh, just this lull between minicamp and training camp. It's just
NBA draft.
Thank goodness the Royals signed Feliz reportedly, or yeah, we would be in it today.
Yes, we'll break down that Neftali Feliz conversation, that signing. That's where we got to begin, don't we? I mean, I think that's it. Ha, 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 ha.
Party horror.
So yesterday afternoon, story breaks. Andy Reid extended. Okay, expected. We expected that.
It was about 2:30.
45 minutes later, the Chiefs and John Dorsey have agreed to part ways. Not expected. I open up the phone lines for you, 913-3810-810. I know I had a meeting right before, and we didn't get a chance to discuss this. A meeting of one.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sticking to the plan here? Timeline, did we decide that? Is that where we're going to go?
I think it works.
Yeah, I think that works, yeah.
Okay, all right, so make sure. All right, didn't know if we were firing Bob Glauber. Thought it was a good time. Get rid of him. You know, Dorsey's out. Let's clean the house ourselves. No, Bob Glauber is going to be with us in our next hour. Our NFL insider from the New York Newsday will get his thoughts on the situation. Adam Teicher will be with us. Our Chiefs insider from the ESPN will get his thoughts. Two-minute drill at noon. Mike Wilner from the Fan 590 and the Jays radio broadcasts will join us to talk about the Royals and Jays. And, of course, we'll wrap it all up with a little Stump the Chumps, Need to Know. It's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Your chance to chime in on the conversation right now at 913-3810-810. I'm interested in people's reaction to the parting of ways between the Chiefs and John Dorsey. And I know a lot of people, you know, nationally have been saying, well, this is clearly a firing. Yeah, he had a contract and he's not here anymore. You know, he was under contract through the 17 season, and now John Dorsey is not here. And remember, that was a big discussion back when the Green Bay Packers were alleged to be looking around, and John Dorsey's name was being thrown out there as the top candidate to take over in Green Bay. Was, well, is he or isn't he under contract? Ultimately, at the Super Bowl, I talked to Clark Hunt, and he said John Dorsey is under contract for this year. There was speculation that it was a four-year deal. Whether it was a four-year deal that had an option or it was a five-year deal or whatever, Clark Hunt was very specific when he sat down with us at the Super Bowl to say, no, he's under contract. So we know he was under contract for 17, and now he's not here. Ultimately, I would that has to be deemed, I think, if you want to get technical, a firing. I'm not really interested in technicalities. I think a lot of people, what I've heard on this, particularly when it comes to the quarterback situation, has become somehow look, I'm right. Somehow this validates my previous opinion. I don't know. I don't see that as being the case. A lot of different layers to this, and I've said this many times, and I said it when I was chatting with Kevin yesterday. After talking with some people about what all has gone on, it's been termed to me that this was absolutely Clark Hunt's decision, that he evaluated Mark Donovan a year or two ago when his contract was done, gave him an extension. He evaluated Andy Reid at this time, gave him an extension, and he evaluated John Dorsey at this time and did not give him an extension. Now, is that a Chiefs spin to it? You know, wherever that information is ultimately starting from, I think so. I think so. The guy was under contract. You give Andy Reid the extension. You pretty much got to give Dorsey one if you're going to do it. Otherwise, it starts to look like, well, Andy Reid's going to be here. We don't know if Dorsey is. So Reid takes over that power structure. It was said to me that the power structure will remain the same moving forward. That Clark Hunt will have basically three lieutenants, Mark Donovan on the business side, Andy Reid on the coaching side, and a general manager on the personnel side that will all report directly to him. And none of those guys will be subservient to anyone else. I think that's the flow chart you would put out there. But let's be clear. I think if during Mark Donovan's evaluation, they said, well, what do you think business-wise? How's it going? Well, pretty good. Well, how could we get better? Well, you know, if his response was, well, if the drunken philandering coach or the drunken philandering general manager was in all over town making an ass of himself, then I could sell more sponsorships. Now, Mark Donovan would not be firing said GM or coach, which, by the way, none of this has happened, but I'm giving you a big exaggeration of an example to make a point. If Mark Donovan told the owner, that's killing us in sponsorship sales, that would go a long way towards terminating one of those guys, right? Mark Donovan's not in charge of, he handles the business responsibilities as Clark Hunt, or excuse me, as Carl Peterson did at one time in this organization, but he does not have firing power on those. But make no doubt about it, the report that he gives on what it takes to generate more revenue for the Chiefs, if there is a problem over on the coaching, and forget about Andy Reid or John Dorsey, if it was this scout or this assistant coach is killing us, then that's going to affect the job of that individual. Well, I don't think anybody that achieves the general manager or head coach position in the NFL is stupid enough to be that kind of jackass around town. That's one of the reasons why I give you that example, because I don't think there's anything even remotely like that going on. But let's narrow it down to a narrower path here, a narrower set of circumstances. If in the conversations with Andy Reid, it's like, Andy, I think you've done a good job. This is it. Here's where we are dollar-wise. Okay, I'm there too. We're good. That fits. This many years, this much money. Okay. All right, now, how do we get better? How do we take that next step? Well, I think we took a big step with the quarterback. I think this kid's going to be good. I like that. What else? Well, you know what? Cutting Jeremy Maclin's not good. I mean, we need one more weapon. I could really use Jeremy Maclin. And cap-wise, we couldn't keep him. We had to make a move. I get that we had to make a move, but the cap needs to be handled better. You know, I'm not the personnel guy. I'm not the cap guy. I don't want that job, which is what I continue to be told, is that he does not want that job. But, you know, we got to be better with the cap so we don't have to cut a guy. I know Jeremy Maclin didn't have a good season last year, but he played with a torn groin. He had a lot of personal issues. I really think he's going to bounce back this year. And you know, that's a big negative for us. I mean, a lot of Tyreek Hill's success was that you had to pay attention to Jeremy Maclin. Now they're going to pay attention to Tyreek first and foremost, and that's going to make it a lot harder for us to do things. That's a problem. Look, that's not Andy Reid firing John Dorsey. But if those conversations were had, that is going to reflect on the evaluation of John Dorsey. Likewise, if John Dorsey says, listen, D Ford's a 20-sack guy. They just don't know how to use him. That's going to reflect on Andy Reid. That's going to reflect on Bob Sutton. Again, I don't know anything about any of these conversations that were had. I'm simply laying the groundwork for the fact that while you can still have an organizational structure that nobody answers to anybody under these three, there is no doubt that as these three men talk about how their job can get better and how this organization can get better, things that they say are going to affect both negatively and positively. Hey, how do we get better? Well, first thing we do is we lock up Coach Reid, because I've never had a coach get it from a personnel standpoint. I know what he wants. We're on the same page. You know, this is a great spot for us to be in. That would be a positive. Well, I got to get Andy Reid done because I can see what he can do game plan-wise and coaching. And here my personnel guys telling me he's nails. And my business guy says, you know, Andy's great to work with because we need to bring some of our big heavy hitter sponsors by. And, you know, it goes a long way when you can get a 2 minutes with the coach. And Andy's always been great. When we said, hey, look, this is a $100,000 client, $500,000, million, I don't know where their sponsorships are. Andy's always been great. Like, yeah, I understand. I'll pop out for a couple minutes and press some palms. That's going to reflect well on Andy Reid. All those things are going to contribute to it. Look, life is not black and white. All right, it's not. It's never one choice. There is no magic bullet that knocked off three different people, okay? It doesn't happen. And there's no magic bullet that is, this is what got John Dorsey gone. There are always layers. We know this. I don't think he was the best when it comes to managing the cap. I don't know that anybody's been more critical or precise in why they're being critical about John Dorsey than this program right here. And I spent a lot of time last year talking about how, you know, during the course of the year, the Chiefs were hamstrung in some situations. And we talked about Justin Houston not being healthy was a big deal and botching that. Now, that's not John Dorsey, but that was a mistake. And he sits in some way over that, the medical department. Losing a draft pick for Jeremy Maclin was a big deal. They had plenty of picks, but when you cut Kavari Russell, if you had another third-round pick and you found a Travis Kelce like you did in 13, boy, that makes losing Kavari Russell look that much better. That was John Dorsey's doing. Getting to the end of Tom Bahaly's contract, having it expire, carrying $4 million of dead cap room for his expired contract, while then having to turn around and sign him to a two-year deal because Houston's not healthy, you're not sure what you got, and getting only a handful of snaps from him down the stretch, that's bad cap management. Signing Alex Smith the year before you had to a contract that I think could have been signed at any time is bad cap management. Not signing Justin Houston going into the 22 sack season when you could have got him for $50 or $60 million and ultimately happened to sign him for $100 million is bad cap management. I didn't disagree with the move, but not getting Eric Berry done a year earlier cost this team $10 or $20 million in cap room. That's over the length of the contract. That's bad cap management. Re-signing Dwayne Bowe was bad cap management. So there are mistakes. Now, the drafting of Tyreek Hill, the drafting of Marcus Peters, the drafting ultimately of Eric Fisher, because the players taken after him have not been huge successes. The players that were in the conversation have not been huge successes. The drafting of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the drafting of Mitch Morse, the drafting's been good. Nobody's 100%. The drafting, particularly when you take into account where the Chiefs have been picking, the drafting has been good. And ultimately, the John Dorsey drafting is probably going to ride on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes. But we don't know what he's going to be now. I could tell you, look, I spoke to people, like I said, that were in the room when that pick was made, and they are adamant that both Andy Reid and John Dorsey were on board with that move. They both like the move. Both of their names are on that kid. There may be a revisionist history written, and those in the media or fans may try to say, well, see, my guy, if you're a John Dorsey guy and he would move on somewhere and be hugely successful, that was John Dorsey's pick. And if Andy Reid still had him, we would have won a Super Bowl. And conversely, if he moves on and doesn't go anywhere, it'll be, Andy Reid was my guy. That was Andy Reid's pick. You know, where you sit in your fandom of Alex Smith and where you're going to sit in your fandom of Patrick Mahomes is probably going to dictate what you ultimately end up thinking about those players. Reality is both guys were on board trading 2 seconds for Alex Smith. Both guys were on board in extending his deal. And both guys were on board in drafting Patrick Mahomes. I really don't think the Patrick Mahomes draft had anything. I believe it had 0% to do with this decision. If you're going to make a move, if you're going through your evaluation process, and there's no doubt an evaluation process is constant. Clark Hunt has had his opinions of Andy Reid and John Dorsey since the day he hired him. His opinion of them has been shaped day in, day out over the course of 4.5 years. There was a point that, you know where the guy sits. At the Combine, he is quoted, and there's a tweet from Blair Kirchhoff, who was covering the Combine. He is quoted as saying, yes, we're working on and want to get extensions done with both Andy Reid and John Dorsey. That's a direct quote. Is he lying? Maybe. Maybe at that point, he's sitting there thinking, I really want to get rid of Dorsey. Well, if he was, those that think that was the case, then when the Colts come sniffing around Chris Ballard, you don't let Chris Ballard go. You sign him and you fire John Dorsey. It's messy. It's ugly. But you're not going to let what you think is a better candidate go because I'm not sure how the PR is going to look. Because the PR is crap now. The PR is not good now. The Chiefs are not being heralded as an organization that's got it all figured out. People are wondering what the hell is going on and why now. So you would have taken that bullet. If you really thought Chris Ballard was the reason you were winning and not John Dorsey, then you would have kept Chris Ballard. That would have happened. That didn't happen. You pressed on. So to me, the one thing, and I look, maybe that is what happened, and Clark Hunt is completely lost and a clueless goof. I don't think that to be the case. I don't think Clark Hunt is a moron. I think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he's a calculating guy. And I don't think he'd make that kind of mistake. So it says to me at that point, it was full speed ahead to re-sign Andy Reid and John Dorsey. But something happened between then and yesterday that made it not in Clark Hunt's best interest, in the Chiefs' best interest in his mind, to keep John Dorsey. What is that? Well, let's review what's happened since then. It wasn't the drafting of Mahomes. That had happened. It's been free agent moves. We've seen Jeremy Maclin have to be cut. And a lot of people being critical because he found out via voicemail. A John Dorsey voicemail. Okay. That brings us to, would Clark Hunt really care if Jeremy Maclin found out by voicemail? I think he'd prefer it be done whatever way everybody thinks is a great way. But no, I really don't think he does. Would Andy Reid care? Would Andy Reid care that Jeremy Macklin's not here? Yeah, I think he would. And I think you've got to wonder. In fact, Andy Reid's irritation with the question of who is and isn't in training camp was uncharacteristic. Uncharacteristic for him to blow up at the media about what is a legitimate question, a question that he knows is a legitimate question. When a fourth player decides not to show up to voluntary OTAs, you know that question's coming. He can't be surprised by that question. And to lose his cool makes me think that he was already pissed that day before he came in, because Andy Reid's smart enough to know that's coming, and he's smart enough to know that there's no reason to get sideways with the media over what are legitimate questions. Andy Reid made a mistake that day. Gross mistake? I don't care. I mean, it's good for business for me. So I enjoyed it. Gave us something to talk about. But a mistake that he doesn't usually make makes me think he's irritated before he ever gets that question. That was one or two points on maybe a 10-point scale. Maybe he's at a 9 when he walks in there. That's worth 2 points. If he's happy and everything is going the way he wants and he walks in there at level 1 or 2 of irritations, everybody's got some irritation, then he goes to level 4 and he doesn't blow up. But something sent him to level 10. That wasn't a 10-point question. There was something else pissing him off that day. Now, maybe it's family stuff. Curtis, you could attest that I have had to say to you, I'm sorry I got hot there,
right?
Because there was no reason for that. I've got other things going on in my life, and I came
days.
In here, and I use that point scale to say it. I came into work today at a level 8 or 9, and what you did was nothing. It just wasn't part of my agenda that day, right? And that was unwarranted, and I'm sorry.
Right.
I've had to do that more times than I would like to admit. All right, so that's what I think was probably going on with Andy Reid there. And so what are those other things? Was it the Maclin situation? Was it the cap situation? Was it that he couldn't go after the free agent he wanted to because the cap is sideways? Possibly. That could be it. All those things are factors. And if that's his report to Clark Hunt when he talks about how the organization gets better, is get the cap better, then certainly that would reflect negatively on John Dorsey. Did Andy Reid fire John Dorsey? No. Do you want to keep Andy Reid happy, first and foremost? Yes, you do. He's the most important part. Well, really, a Hall of Fame quarterback is the most important part. They're taking their shot at Patrick Mahomes, because Tom Brady is more responsible for 5 Super Bowls than Bill Belichick, because I've seen 4 seasons of Bill Belichick head coach teams without Tom Brady. They went to a playoff and lost, won a game and I think lost, with Vinny Testaverde with the Browns.
Yeah.
One playoff. And he won 11 games with Matt Castle, but didn't make the playoffs. He is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the same coach without Tom Brady as he is with Tom Brady. Now, give me Bill Belichick over any coach in the NFL today. But Tom Brady's number one. Most important thing for this franchise is to find their Hall of Fame quarterback. And anybody worth a damn in the NFL or covering the NFL or watching the NFL knows that's number one. Number two is get the coach right. Belichick is definitely number two in that equation. And number three is make the right personnel decisions outside of the quarterback. All right, that's the order of importance. And so it's a little bit like the old phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't no one happy. If Andy Reid ain't happy, ain't no one happy. So part of your job as the business guy is to not piss off Andy Reid. And let me tell you something. The business department at the Kansas City Chiefs tiptoes around Andy Reid, because there's a diva factor to Andy Reid. very tolerable. All head coaches have it. But we don't mess in the business department with Andy Reid and his schedule and what he wants to get done. And likewise, the personnel guy better be drafting the kind of players that he wants. There's no doubt that keeping Andy Reid happy is job one for anyone and everyone in that building. And even Clark Hunt. Because if not him, then who? Bob Sutton is not the who. The who is not on that staff. That's better than Andy Reid. And the who isn't sitting out there available. So everybody, including Clark Hunt, has to keep Andy Reid happy. So I think it is clear to say that Andy Reid didn't step in front of the firing line on John Dorsey. So if anything, he's complicit in not stopping the move. I think we can all agree that's a reality there. That if Andy Reid wanted him there and he said, and Clark Hunt said, I'm firing him anyway, we're probably not watching Andy Reid get a 5-year extension.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable saying that.
Right.
But did he fire him? No, I don't think so. So we've got all those things in there, those layers. And let me give you one more. If we take Clark Hunt at his word when he said to Blair Kirkhoff that he was working on extensions for both guys, that was a long time ago at the Combine. And here we sit and they just got it done with Andy Reid. Now, there is a lot of legalese and lawyerese, and you know, I've dealt with contracts. Many people listening to this have dealt with contracts, and they get longer and longer and longer over time, and it takes a lot of time to get there. They've had plenty of time to get it done, and it hasn't gotten done. And if you said to a guy, look, this is what I want, and you're adamant that I want a 5-year deal, and that guy says, you know, I'm okay. How about give me an out after 1 year? No, 5-year deal. Look, Clark Hunt is aware of the rumors that John Dorsey's going was headed to Green Bay, according to one report. No, I'm not giving you an out after one. I'm not giving you a yearly out. Ted Thompson, I know, is out there looming. Look, this is my franchise. You called it a dream job. I don't care if it is or isn't, but if you're going to be my GM this year, you're going to be my GM for 5 years, and you're not going anywhere. I'm not playing this game. It's decision time. And if John Dorsey said, look, the money's fine, but I want an out after one. If you want a magic bullet theory, the only thing that points to one reason being why he's not here, that's it. I guess if Andy Reid said, I hate him, I can't work with him, he's got to go, that would be the other one. Those are your two possible scenarios. Because if you're forced, if Andy Reid says, me or him.
If you want me, he's got to go.
Then you take Andy Reid. But everyone I've talked to, and all indications are that it wasn't at that point. I suppose it could be. And Andy Reid has kept it behind closed doors, and even those close to him have no inclination that that's the case. I tend to believe, if I were to connect dots, that the Green Bay job has to be a factor in this. And it really doesn't matter what it is. He's gone now, and Clark Hunt, along with his lieutenant's advice, has to find the right guy to be the general manager. Now, at the end of the day, this season and a Super Bowl trophy here moving forward will not depend on why John Dorsey was fired. Here moving forward, what it will depend upon is how good can Andy Reid coach? How good can the next general manager organize a scouting department, scout, draft, sign, and manage the cap for Andy Reid? That's what will determine it. But we're going to know a lot more a year from today. Really, we'll probably know a lot more right after next year's draft. If John Dorsey, in the next year, and I'll even say 2 years, is the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, then I think this was more of John Dorsey walking away than it was Clark Hunt firing him. If he moves right into that job, what do you think, the Packers thought he was an idiot, but once he got fired and they had an interview with him, they were suddenly so blown away he got the job? BS. If he's the next general manager of the Packers, if he signs on as chief lieutenant to the Green Bay Packers, Ted Thompson coaches GMs one or two more years, and John Dorsey moves into that job, then John Dorsey engineered this exit as much as Clark Hunt did. If John Dorsey moves on to a broadcasting career, unlikely. I like John Dorsey the guy, but
I'm being upset.
maybe he would suddenly be very critical of things and much more honest, and maybe he'd be great. I don't know. He is a fun guy if you get him off to the side. So there's some personality there, so maybe I shouldn't say. But I think he's a football guy. He's going to work somewhere in football. If he's just a regional scout, if he is even just a scouting director for the Arizona Cardinals and never takes on or in the next 3-4 years does not get a general manager's job, I'd almost hesitate to say in Green Bay, but I would leave it open that he's got connections and there are other jobs, other owners he'd like to work for. If that's the case, then Clark Hunt fired him. And that's what happened. There was whatever. He contract coupled with cap issues. Those layers added up and Clark Hunt fired him. But if he's the general manager of the Green Bay Packers very soon, then he engineered it. At the end of the day, that will be irrelevant for us as Chiefs fans here moving forward. What matters here moving forward is what the new people do. But if he goes to the Packers and then wins multiple Super Bowls as the GM of the Packers, then we as fans will look back and say, why couldn't you find a way to make it work? And Andy Reid's tombstone in Kansas City may one day read, the guy who ran off a good personnel man and couldn't get it done in Kansas City. We'll know in a couple of years. Today, we don't really know. I think all of those things we just talked about are factors. Who was more the reason leaving, John Dorsey or Clark Hunt? Right now, I think you have to lean towards Clark Hunt. But again, if he's the GM of the Packers in 3 months, spare me. Spare me if you've got some wild-ass theory that's anything other than John Dorsey wanted the Packer job. And John Dorsey went and got it. And why wouldn't you? And by the way, get out of your head any thought that Chris Ballard is going to walk away from the Colts and come riding in here on a white horse. Why would you? I'll take a surgically repaired shoulder of Andrew Luck and zero players around him over a pedestrian quarterback like Alex Smith and a big-armed raw prospect like Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs roster any day. Any thought that Ballard would rather have this job than the Colts based upon your chance to win a Super Bowl is farcical. Now, Patrick Mahomes proves himself to be the man. Okay, you got a better situation here. You get out from under the money of Alex Smith's contract, and Pat Mahomes proves that he can be a gunslinger and he can be the guy. The next 5 years is the best window for the Kansas City Chiefs to win a Super Bowl. And really, it's not this year. It starts with the 18 season, with Alex Smith's contract no longer on the books and a quarterback playing at a high level for a cheap price. The Chiefs' best window to win a Super Bowl is year 2, 3, 4, 5, then 6, potentially 7 on a backloaded contract of Pat Mahomes' career. He needs to be Derek Carr. There needs to be a 5-year, $125 million extension given to him down the road. And if that extension's coming, then the best window will be while he's making nothing. But make no mistake about it, an expensive quarterback that looks like he's headed to the Hall of Fame, Andrew Luck, is a better starting point, regardless of who else is around him. The quarterback is the most important part. And if you understand that or forgot that, then you're missing the point on building championship teams. A chance to work for 4 years with Aaron Rodgers? As the centerpiece of what you do? The Tyreek Hills are a lot easier to find than the Aaron Rodgers are. If you don't believe me, take a look at the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. Dante Hall, Eddie Kennison, Dwayne Bowe. Lots of guys that have had good seasons as wideouts. Nobody who's going to the Hall of Fame at the quarterback position since Len Dawson. Zero Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers has been there and done that. That's a better spot to be. If he winds up in Green Bay, he wanted out. We may not want to hear it. It may suck that our team and our town is not number one in the hearts of everybody, but it's reality. It's okay. Get over it. Now the Chiefs have to get over John Dorsey. And whether it's an in-house candidate that they look to, Brett Veach's name is popular because the Bills were interested, or somebody outside, they got to get that right, first and foremost. We'll take your calls next, 913-3-8-10-8-10. You're in the program.